This morning, I want us to talk about observing the resurrection. What does the Bible say? Before we get into the lesson, I want to welcome everyone. Thank everyone for your presence here this morning. It's something that should just come naturally, and where we enjoy being together, especially, you know, in view of being at a funeral service this past week. It's just time goes so quickly. We need to be mindful of what's the most important things in life, having our life ready that we can go home to be with our Savior at any minute. So a lot of people today are saying, Happy Easter. I'll say that with a question mark. What does the Bible say? Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 48, He that rejects me and receives not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken the same day, the same shall judge him in the last day. You know, many people, they celebrate, they observe the resurrection by dressing up, going to church one day out of the year, and think that that is pleasing to God, and that that makes them a good person. Am I questioning their sincerity? I'm not questioning their sincerity, but we've got to ask the question, what does God say about pleasing him? And what does God say about being a good person? Easter Sunday is an annual holiday celebrated by many. Millions of people commemorate the resurrection of Jesus on this day. Many consider it one of the most holy days of religious holidays. For some, it marks the time, the only time they attend church services, or some come on Easter, some come on Christmas. And it's, you just say Easter, and there are so many things that come to mind, and we'll look at those in a minute, but just coming into town this morning, I noticed a man walking on the sidewalk west, carrying a large cup of coffee. He was on the east side of McDonald's, so I knew he didn't get his coffee from McDonald's and was going home. I thought he must have been down by the big church on the other end of town. They had their service, and he was walking home with his coffee. That's what people are talking about today. That most important day that they consider a holy day, yet they don't consider it holy enough to worship God every day. And people see that in people, except the ones that do it. So the Babylon Bee, they point out, and this is satire, but even they recognize this, God confirms people who attend church 2 days per year can go to heaven for 2 days per year. Heaven, in an announcement sure to have a significant impact on millions of lives before and after death, heavenly sources confirm that people who attend church 2 days per year can go to heaven for 2 days per year. Sure, your 2 days of church attendance per year totally count, explained St. Peter. They count for 2 days of heaven per year, and the rest of the year, you get tortured by demons. It's very fair. This organization sees the hypocrisy in this. And again, I'm not questioning people's sincerity, but we need to talk about it to get people to see and question what they're doing. This came out last week on the community page, and I wasn't sure if they were talking about every Sunday or Easter Sunday, but someone asked, any churches around have Sunday breakfast before service? And then there were a lot of replies on, you can go here and get this, coffee and donuts, or we've got a meal between services. And again, so many people think that the church's role is to be a social club and to fill people's bellies. So to start off with, let's get the food issue out of the way. What did Jesus say in John chapter 6, verse 1? After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that they may eat?" Just a couple quick things to point out here. We see again, as we've been studying maps, the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. The Passover was going on. And again, when the Passover, that was one of the three annual feasts that the men were required to come to. So they would have been coming from all nations. There would have been huge crowds there. Jesus performs a miracle. He feeds them. Matthew's account in Matthew 14, 21, "Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children." So you include women and children, and there could have been up towards 15,000 people that he fed. That's not bad. Jesus and people point to this. Jesus fed people food. Well, you keep reading in John chapter 6, and you drop down to verse 24. We have another crowd coming to him. "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?'" It's like, how did you get away from us? Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Jesus is telling them, "I'm not here to feed you all the time. You're coming for the wrong reasons. You don't come to Christ for food." And what did Paul say about the food? 1 Corinthians 11:22. "What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing?" You see, there's a place for getting together and having a meal, but that's not in the church. That's in the home. Well, is Easter in the Bible? The Greek word I have here, P-A-S-C-H-A, is mistranslated Easter in Acts 12:4 in the King James Version. The phrase "after the Passover" signifies the whole festival was at end. The term Easter is not of Christian origin. It's another form of another word, one of the titles of a goddess, queen of heaven, a pagan god. So this festival was distinct and introduced into the apostate Western religion when people were getting away from the Bible as part of an attempt to adapt pagan festivals to Christianity. So it's nothing new. It's like going back to Israel and thinking in the Old Testament, they wanted to be like the nations round about them. They wanted to have kings like the nations round about. They wanted to have idols like the nations about. And as people were leaving the church and apostatizing, they were wanting to have these festivals that others had had. So when we look in the Bible at this verse, Acts 12:4, the King James Version uses that. King James started ordering his translation in 1604. It was finished 7 years later, 1611. And from what I read, when he had his translation made, he had the other translations outlawed so people would have to use his. But Acts 12:4 in the American Standard Version, Revised Standard Version, New King James Version have all corrected that and used the right word Passover. And it's the same in the same word in Passover in other places. So this yearly observance of Christ's resurrection, according to secular history, it began early in the form of a Christian Passover. The Passover was already an important feast to the Jews. It was instituted by Moses, commemorating their deliverance from Egypt. And it was during this feast that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Many Jews continued to keep Jewish customs and festivals after their conversion to Christ. Paul was not opposed to observing such Jewish customs. Acts 18:18-21, chapter 21:17-26. So what is Easter? Again, it's only found one time in the Bible, in the King James Version, Acts 12:4, and that word in the original is actually Passover. And the word Easter was used because of the influence of the Roman Catholic Church, not because it was in the original. And again, the updated King James, the New King James, and just about every other translation do not use the word Easter. And Easter is a movable holiday, meaning that it's not fixed in relation to a civil calendar. The First Council of Nicaea in 325 established the date of Easter as the first Sunday after the full moon following the Northern Hemisphere's vernal equinox on March 21. So again, this Council of Nicaea, this was a Catholic gathering, the vernal equinox, March 21. So the date of Easter varies between March 22nd and April 25th. And again, Easter is linked to much of the Jewish, to the Jewish Passover by much of its symbolism, as well as its position in the calendar. And in some languages, the words for Easter and Passover are related or the same, but that is not in the original. And again, this came along, the word Easter, after Christianity. And the New Testament contains no reference to a yearly celebration of the resurrection of Christ. If it does, then please tell us the verse so we can read it and read how they celebrated it. You think about back in the Old Testament, what God wanted the people to do, and it was so detailed, so specific. There is nothing left to wonder when it was to be done, how it was to be done. When we get to the New Testament, it's not quite as specific, but we have to understand too, the Old Testament was a national law for the Jews. Christianity applies to everybody, every nation, every culture, every time. And you see God's wisdom in making some of the things not as specific as he described in the tabernacle and the temple and the priests that served. So this word Easter comes from an Anglo-Saxon name of a goddess of spring and fertility. Her festival was celebrated on the day of vernal equinox. Many of the customs associated with Easter illustrate this and other pagan connections. The rabbit was a sacred to the goddess Estre, the goddess of fertility in springtime. And it appears there is a custom among the ancient Egyptians and Romans to give eggs at this present and presences at this time of the year. And that was intended to ensure the recipient would have a very fertile or productive year. A lot of paganism in all the holidays that we see today. So the yearly Passover soon included other observances as well. Palm Sunday. When we went to the grocery store last Sunday, Carol said, "Did you see those little kids with the plastic palms?" And I didn't. But Palm Sunday, some churches hand out plastic palms or actual palms to teach the children about Palm Sunday. And they turn it into, again, a religious holiday. Palm Sunday, the day Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem prior to his death. Good Friday, the day he was crucified. Resurrection Sunday, the day he arose and which came to be known as Easter. Is that an important day? Absolutely. The first century Christians came together on the first day of the week. But we'll see they came together every first day of the week to worship God as God has instructed and directed us to do. And it's interesting that if God wanted us to observe these days, he did not tell us to do so, and he didn't give us any instructions how to do it. So the question comes up, can a Christian participate in Easter? And think about Paul. Paul was not against observing certain feast days himself. He kept Jewish customs when it was expedient, 1 Corinthians 9. He had Timothy circumcised, Acts 16. He took a vow in Acts 18. He sought to keep a Jewish feast in Jerusalem in Acts 18. He participated in purification ceremonies, which included animal sacrifices, Acts 21, 17 through 26. However, in his teaching, it was made clear that it should be done on an individual basis, Romans 14, 5 and 6. It should not be bound on others, Galatians 2, 3 through 5. And it had nothing to do with our justification in Christ, Galatians 5, 4 and 6. And where Paul drew the line was in making such matters church doctrine or practice, where people were compelled to do them. So can a Christian participate in Easter? Jesus warned of the danger of human traditions. He rebuked the scribes and Pharisees for their use of traditions in Mark 7, 1 through 13. Over and over and over, the Pharisees made up traditions. They deviated from the law and made up their own traditions, which couldn't be kept. And then Jesus said, "In vain you're worshiping me." They made their traditions necessary for all to observe. Mark 7, 7. And in keeping their traditions, they laid aside the commands of God. Mark 7, 8, and 9. And friends, traditions of men are wrong when they become matters of doctrine or required practice and bound upon others. When they displace the commands of God by the very keeping of traditions. You see, what one of the problems, there are different problems with this, but it took the focus off God and put their focus on traditions. And then again, you see where they would apostatize and go away and leave God. And they would say they were doing it in the name of religion. And that's why you can walk up and down the street in New Lebanon and see every kind of observance of Easter, of something that you can't even read about in the Bible as God telling us to do. And if he did tell us to do it, he would have told us how to do it and when to do it. On an individual basis, though, if one wishes to esteem one day above another, it's between him and the Lord, Romans 14. We need to be careful not to condemn those who differ, Romans 14, 4 and 10 through 12. And we need to be sensitive to the convictions of others, Romans 14, 13 through 19. You know, Paul gave up a lot of his rights that he had. And why did he do that? He wanted to win others to Christ. He was sensitive. You think about all the people, the Gentiles that did not know the true God. And even the Jews the Jews that knew the true God, and when the law of Christ went into effect, they still thought you had to keep the old law to be justified, especially with circumcision. But they, some of them kept other things too. He was sensitive to the convictions of others. Because he wanted to win them, he wanted to teach them the truth. As for the pagan elements, again, this is left best on an individual basis. And there are so many things, I'll just say this, there are so many things we do every day that's connected to paganism that we don't even think about it. But if you research it and go back and you see a lot more of that coming into the department stores in displays they have, you see it coming in to the entertainment, into shows, into movies, into social events. We live in a pagan world. So my own understanding is that we are free in Christ to change what may have been a religious practice at one time for personal use as an expediency. What's an example of that? Circumcision. Baby boys are circumcised today, but we shouldn't say you shouldn't circumcise that baby because you're trying to make him a Jew and be justified in God. People could take colored eggs and hide them for family entertainment. People do that. I don't know anybody that thinks that when they see someone doing that, that they are worshiping some pagan god. It is so far removed from that. I think it is interesting that if God wanted us to observe these days, he did not tell us how to do so, nor did he give instructions how to do it. We were talking earlier before we started about, I think about all of us remember years ago, everybody dressed up on Easter, dressed up again, bonnets and the ladies' bonnets and purses and new clothes and corsage. And people, I don't think that people thought that had anything to do with paganism, but we need to be aware. We need to be aware and follow what God is saying. And it's hard. That's one of the challenges we face in trying to convert people to Christ, because they see all of this stuff out in the world going on, and they say, well, what do you have for your Easter service? And we say, what do you mean Easter service? You know, when's your breakfast? When do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have a sunrise service? Well, what does the Bible say about that? It doesn't. God has told us how to worship. God has told us how to observe the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. How do we observe the resurrection? The Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. And I wonder sometimes what was going through Jesus' mind when he would say words, when he was looking at his disciples, and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. He knew he was just hours away from being on the cross. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. He knew he was going to die and offer his life for not only his disciples, but for everyone. He laid down his life for us. We don't deserve it. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Remembering that sacrifice that he made for us that we could not make. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You know, people that go to these Easter services, their mind can be far removed from God, thinking of any and everything except God. And that's how they observe Easter. That's how they observe the resurrection. Friends, when we observe the resurrection, we need to examine ourselves. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And I don't sit here and judge someone else, and you don't judge me. We examine ourselves. And when we examine ourselves, we know we all fall short. And we don't want to take it in the wrong way and be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. We want to observe his resurrection by walking right every day, by putting God first. This memorial that we have represents the gospel. The gospel, what is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. This gospel by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. This is the gospel, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all he was seen by me, also as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Friends, this is how we observe the Lord's Supper, and we come together on the first day of the week. We partake of this in the assembly, as we read about in 1 Corinthians, and it reminds us, it motivates us, it keeps us on track. We remember the resurrection, and that resurrection should remind us of the desire of our heart. What is our desire? Somebody will say, I want this, I want that. I told Carol, not that I want it, but I told Carol, I said, did you see the 60th anniversary edition of the Mustang, that dark horse Mustang? 800 horsepower. That's what people desire. What is our desire? We should desire, we should long to be with God. And we want every day to be filled with God. We want to be aware of his presence, that I don't take one step out of his glory. I want to keep my eyes on him. If God moves, I want to move with him. If God stays put, I want to rest in his presence. Worship is our response to our recognition that God is worthy. Worship gives us an avenue to celebrate what he has given to us, to honor his power, and to be touched by his presence. And when did they do this? Acts 20:7, and on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Well, how often did they do that? Did they do that once a year? No, we know they didn't do that once a year. They did that every first day of the week. When God told them in the Old Testament to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, which Sabbath did they remember? The Sabbath every week. They remembered it. And again, if they forgot it and did things that they were not supposed to do, there were consequences. They could be put to death. But on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. And friends, we must worship from the heart. We observe the resurrection and remember what Christ did for us every day. God is a jealous God. He wants to have a covenant relationship with us. God chose us before the foundation of the world. He looked down through time. He settled his eyes on you, on your face, and because of you, he moved, making a plan and designed a destiny for your soul. Your destiny is the best path for your heart is found in being a child of God. And people, what do people say? Oh, I hear that, but what time is your Easter breakfast? What kind of music do you have for your Easter celebration? Friends, the Bible is silent regarding any yearly observance of Christ's resurrection. It's silent. God and Jesus evidently did not see it necessary for the church. And any yearly observance is based upon human tradition and not God's word. And back to where we started, John 12:48, it's the word that's going to judge us in the last day. As a human tradition, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Mark 7:7-9. And whatever the topic is, it cannot become a matter of doctrine which is bound on others. Why is an annual observance of the church unwise, if not wrong? Because it mixes human traditions with God's commands for his church. Jesus wants his church, his bride, to be pure and holy, unspotted from the world. Friends, the resurrection of Christ is part of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. And because of that, we can have hope of an eternal life. And just as when we are baptized, we die, that old man is dead to sin, that old man is buried in water, and we rise to walk in newness of life, then we can be a New Testament Christian. We can have an assurance that our past sins are forgiven. We can set our eyes and our heart on God. We can follow him. We can worship him. We can observe his resurrection on a weekly basis. And we can wait and work and labor till he returns. Friends, if there's anyone this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.